Well, good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are we doing today? Hope everybody had a good fourth. We did. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you do for us, Father God. Lord, I want to lift up these prayer requests that were made. Lord, you know each and every one, Father God, as you just to move in a mighty way, Father God. You are the one that knows what needs to be done, Father God. We ask you just to move, Father God, that you would heal and restore, Father, so that we as a people can continue to move forward and grow closer to you, Father God. Lord, I ask you to use every obstacle in our path, Father God, to draw us closer to you, Father God. Lord, I ask you just to continue to lead, guide, and direct. Father God, I ask you just bless this word today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to give your message, Father, this morning. Lord, I ask that it be all you, none of me, Father. Lord, bless the word in this time. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul today. We're going to be in Acts 13 and 47, if you want to get started going there. We got good news this week. Everything down south finally got sold, so the auction is finalized, and we're past all that. So on her dad's property, and so we can go on and get this behind us. But we do have to go down for the closing date at the end of the month, but other than that, we're pretty much done. And they made enough money on the auction to cover his debt, so that's a good thing. We can get all that paid off and stop having banks call us on behalf of his debt. So it's God really blessed. And it's kind of crazy because we got robbed twice before the auction, and someone came in and stole a whole bunch of stuff and stole a dump trailer and everything. In God's glory, there wasn't much left, but we still made more than enough to pay the bills. So God provided in a mighty, mighty way. This morning, I want to talk about growth. For true growth, you must be moved from one place to another. True growth cannot happen in the same place. In my studies, I seen that it was a comment that someone had made that true growth doesn't happen in the same place. God uses us in crazy ways. Look at me now. There was a day when I wouldn't raise my hand to answer a question, let alone stand in front of a group of people and give a message. Like, God is awesome. He can use the weak, and he definitely is using me in a mighty way. And I'm just glad to be part of it. It's kind of fun to be able to be used this way. It's very rewarding. Seeds don't fall straight to the ground. It's spread out. You ever see a tree we'll use acorns, for example, because they're really good at spreading out.
Our yards are full of them.
Mine too.
Or walnuts.
And they don't just fall to the bottom of the tree and start new growth down there. They spread out everywhere. They're in the gutters. They're on the deck. I don't know how they make it so far, but they do. And that's just a example of the way that new growth has to be moved from one spot to another. Can you imagine if all the seeds fell straight down and trees only grew up in one spot? What would that look like? It'd make them weak. It'd make them more susceptible to damage because they're growing into each other, dying out because they don't have enough room for their roots to grow. God has a plan, and the plan is for the seeds to be spread out further so they have a place to grow, a healthy place to grow. And it only takes one tree to create a great forest. Can you imagine the first tree that was in southern Missouri started dropping seeds, and look how far out, like enormous woods stretching for hundreds and hundreds of miles. Can you imagine the beginning of that, the first tree that dropped the first seed? And that's a That's a picture of Paul's life. In Acts 13 and 47 is, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you the light of the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." I was reading a lot in Paul this week, and I'm going to tell you what, if you want to set your mind to change, just read Paul and try to mimic anything that he had done or gone through, and it really makes my life look a whole lot more simple than what it feels sometimes. Paul went through a lot. Paul went to many, many places spreading the word, and God used him in a mighty way. In Acts 13 and 48, it says, "And now when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region." So the first thing I noticed in Paul's ministry is that it didn't happen in the same place. It didn't happen the same way either. Paul would do what God wanted him to do, then God would send him to another spot, and then he would do what God wanted him to do there. And Paul was truly blessed to be a servant of the Lord. He loved what he did, and he loved being able to do what he was doing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. Could you imagine hating your life and hating what you're doing so much and being prosperous at the same time? It's kind of hard to do. That's why we as Christians need to be vigilant on our attitude towards the work of God, towards what he's got for us in our life. Not just the good stuff, but the bad stuff. Paul had a lot of bad stuff. Lord knows I don't want to go through anything Paul went through. Paul went through a lot. Paul was boiled in oil, shipwrecked, you name it. I think it happened to Paul. Left on an island in jail. And
did you say boiled in oil?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. How did he live through that?
By the grace of God. He was stoned, left for dead. And I think one of those things might deter me from doing, let alone all of those things. He was a true man of God. He loved God, and he knew what needed to be done. He was close to God, and he was close to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved him from place to place. And I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about that today. And I wanted to ask a few questions. I was hoping to be a little interactive today. In what way has God moved you in your life? Anybody willing to share? Come on, we've all been moved.
It changed my life completely.
Brother Sam, he's placed me in this to work with little children, and I have felt the last 2 years that pre-K is my position because on how ugly this world is getting to be. In pre-K age, we don't teach what the older kids hear. And I just thank the Lord every day for me giving a job with them little kids and protecting them.
We are thankful for people like you that do what you do. They need a good head start for when they hit the older classes. I'll tell you that, especially from home. Anybody else?
He's delivered me. I've gone through. I used to go in and out of church all the time. You know, I'd be here for years, and then I'd leave, and I'd be back. And I think he's really true. He's delivered me from a lot of things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think he loves you.
Being here for as long as I've been here, 20 plus years, I've seen a lot of people come and go. And it is sad to see some people that you think got it all together, and you think that they're on top of the world doing exactly what God wants them to do, and then the next day they're gone. You know? And, you know, it only takes one thing to change our entire life. Just like Paul, what would have happened if he got irritated because he was preaching the word and he got turned away and run off and stoned? What if he decided he was sick and tired of that, and he's just going to skip the next city and just do what he wanted to do, go on a retreat of his own? What would have happened? You know, there'd been...
He was zealous, though. He got changed, you know.
and he became a zealot for Christ. You know, that's what we should be too.
Yes.
As once you are, I mean, for me, once my life changed, I'd never turn back to, or I pray I never would. I guess there's always that possibility, but you have to dig in and be a zealot for Christ. You can't just be lukewarm.
You can't be a lackadaisical Christian.
Yeah. Help us, Lord. Yes. We have to have that fire under us.
Yeah. Mm. And when we feel it going out, we have to find a way to rekindle the flame, come back to the fellowship and get strong.
Yeah.
Sam, I think the word that you used is a very good word for how we need to live our life daily, and that's vigilant. Mm-hmm. And it has to be a choice every single day. Mm-hmm.
Yep. From the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep. I'm going to tell you what, I prayed that prayer one time. And Lord God, use me in whatever way you want. It took a long time to get to that position. I'm going to tell you what, it took me a long time to be able to pray that prayer and mean it. And he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to warn you, be ready to, when you pray that prayer, that if you truly mean it, he's truly going to use you. A lot of times it's been a pretty uncomfortable ways, like getting up for me, like getting up and preaching and teaching. My biggest thing was, you want to hear my biggest excuse? Teaching this class. Teaching people that have been around for a while and been Christians for a while that know what's going on and they know it better than me. There's no way I'm going to do it, you know? And that was my excuse for a long time. I was like, Lord, there's someone better out there. There's someone smarter. There's someone more talented. There's someone more funny, better looking. Lord knows I'm failing in that department. And there's someone better. And I just kept using that excuse for a long time. And it took a while for me to get to the point where I'm like, all right, God, I'll go wherever you send me. Just send me. When I truly meant it, he sent me. But the main point to that is when you pray that prayer and he sends you, you got to take that first step. You got to be willing to move forward. And I tell you what, after that first step, my life changed because I went from thing to thing. My first time I asked God to use me, he said that I want you to be a teacher. And I taught the middlers. And I'm going to tell you what, that's some work. The kids were great, but they had questions, and they were older, a little bit older, so they had good questions. And I'll tell you what, you had to dig deep and be in the Bible and be ready for it. And by doing what God wanted me to do, I learned more, and I became more knowledgeable. And when you do that, you get a little more comfortable doing what you're doing. And to be honest with you, I'm never completely comfortable. And I think that's a good thing. Because if you're completely comfortable, then you're trusting in yourself more than you are trusting God. I still get nervous. I was nervous this morning before I came down here. I was like, it's going to be all right. It'll work out. God's good. I still have to pump myself up sometimes. But I think that's a good thing. I think as Christians, we should be completely reliant, you know, and put ourselves in a place where we have to trust God, you know. As Christians, our growth is one of the most important things because that's how God uses us. That's how the Holy Spirit uses us. I've been working on that part. You know, I used to think all the time when I prayed, I just pray to God. And after I listened to Corey teach the one day about the Holy Spirit, and I started adding that into my prayers, my prayer life, asking the Holy Spirit to teach. And it's made a big difference in just a very short amount of time. It's like having a pocket full of ammunition and not putting it all in your gun. It doesn't do any good in your pocket. You got to use it all. And God gives it to us for a reason. God gave all this to Paul for a reason, because he knew that Paul was going to come up against trials and tribulation in his life. But he also knew that he was going to be able to do great things through Paul. And he will be able to do great things through us as well. I didn't think he could ever do anything great through me. But one of my favorite things that I like to do is be able to lead people to the Lord. and have God put me in a spot to where I'm able to do that. Gives me a high. I'll tell you what, I'm pumped. I'll jump around like a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how excited I get after it has happened. Because there's nothing better, nothing better than leading someone to the Lord. In the years that I've been in this church, it's happened many, many, many times. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. Without the growth in my life, that wouldn't have happened. You know, without going through what I went through. I didn't go through what Paul went through, but my things were bad enough. You know, and God delivered me through them all. And I came out on the other side 5 times better than I was before. You know, it's the trials that make us a better Christian. It's the trials that make us better men and women. Because if there weren't any trials in our life, then things would be easy and we'd never learn from them. God uses those things to teach us. And until you can get to the point where you realize that God's got this, He's in control, and it's going to be all right. No matter what trial I'm going through right now, God's got this, He's in control, and I'm going to be all right. And it took me a long time to be able to be comfortable with that. You can say that, but until you truly mean it and think it, it's not going to make much of a difference. But you got to be able to truly be able to trust. And that comes with growth. I have another question. What direction do you see God sending you? Don't be scared. I know it's scary, but anybody? Is God moving you in any direction that you might be nervous about or excited about?
You know, I just would like to say, I was in a large, very, very large church for years. And when I left that church, I didn't go to another church. I was always looking for another. And then I shopped in churches. And I came here once and then I left and went to the Lutheran church. I've been all over. And I just never felt like I could get my life right. And I look back and I blame it on all those years at Willow and the things that happened there. And I came here the second time, and that's been probably a year ago, or I don't know how long ago. And everybody here needs to appreciate Angelo because he's better, the best pastor ever, and has touched my heart. And I feel like for the first time, and I'm 80 years old, and I feel like the first time in my entire life, I have my life right, and I'm right with God. And it's been a long, long coming. And all those years I worked in a church, I thought I had it right, but I know now I didn't. You know, and it took that. And I just feel like I'm on my way to heaven someday, for sure. I believe it, but don't have a doubt in my mind.
We are truly blessed.
Yes.
Ditto.
There's not words that I could say to say how much it means to me to have pastor to be my pastor.
Absolutely.
Sam, years ago, I had left church. I had been gone for like 22 years, and we got invited back to a special service. My grandma's being honored, and we never left. And a few months later, I gave my heart back to God, and the next week John did, and shortly after the kids did. And shortly after that, God started talking to me. It was terrifying. He was calling me to go to school to become a teacher. And I wasn't telling, I told John, but I didn't tell anybody. And one day a grandparent, I was teaching the preschool class, and a grandmother came in and she said, "Oh, you really missed your calling, Chris." I seen the way I decorated my class, and I just stood there shook because I knew God was speaking through her. And my job, I knew God wanted me to go back to school. I didn't know how it was going to work out. And shortly later, there was a post that went up by the time clock that they were moving our company to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And God just worked it all out. My school was paid 100%, my books and everything. And I had a lady, her and her husband were getting close to retirement, and they had their whole life planned out. And you know, their money planned out. They were going to work so many years to be gone, and she just blew up at me one day at work. She said, "I was the only one not worried. I was in total peace with it." And she was so angry. She said, "I know you got your life figured out, but it's not that way." I mean, she was up in my face screaming. I didn't say nothing because I knew it was her fear. And so I went to school, and but before that, I walked into pastor's office one night, and I told him that God was calling me to become a teacher. And I went out in the car, and John said, "What are you saying?" I said, "He said nothing. He just smiled, like he knew already." But I became a teacher, and well, what a rewarding thing. I mean, to know that how God just, you know, I didn't have to worry about anything. He just had it all worked out.
I had the same thing when in my prayer life, I was calling, asking God to use me, and I felt called to be a teacher. And that scared me a lot. You know, I'm not going to lie. I was very hesitant. But I still wanted to do what God was sending me to do. So we was camping, and Pastor was there. And we was sitting there, and I looked over at Pastor. I said, "Pastor, I feel like God is calling me to be a teacher." He looked at me and smiled. He goes, "Good. You're the new teacher for the middlers." Lord. God had already prepared it, you know. God already knew that there was going to be a job for me and the other teacher. I don't know who the other teacher was or what happened, but God had a plan, and it was His plan to get me to that point. He's had a plan for my life. He's been moving me. I've been moving forward. He's been spreading that seed, going further and further out, getting away from where I once was, and doing what He wants me to do. And I gotta lie, sometimes it's scary, but it's the most rewarding thing I have ever done in my life. Anybody else?
Well, I knew about God all my life. Like, I was in and out of churches when I was little. And then I'm from a family of alcoholics, drug addicts, all that. And I always swore that I was never gonna do any of that stuff. And then I think I was like 23, I started going out with my sister and stuff, and I could hear like so strongly, like, "What are you doing here? Like, why are you here? You're not supposed to be here." I'm like, "No, shh. Like, I don't want to listen to this. Like, I'm trying to have fun." Well, it just kept getting louder. Each time I would go out, it was louder and louder. So finally, it was like, one day, I remember like crying out, praying, and it was like, I needed to make the decision now, or like, I don't even know. Everything was just going to not go the way it's supposed to go. But so I finally decided, or Christy kept bothering me to come to church, and I was like, "No, you know, I couldn't get up excuses because I didn't want to come." I always said I was never going to
do. I know them all. I used them all.
I never wanted. I always said if I ever go to a church, it's going to be one of those big ones. I'm going to be in and out. I don't want no church family. I don't want to socialize with anybody. And then I came here one time, and then my kids were like, "We have to come back." Mm-hmm. So even your sense, but I think about it, like, if I didn't listen to that, you know, how crazy my life would be, because I knew that I had to be the one to stop the addiction, the drinking. I'm the one that had to put a stop to
it.
The cycle. So now we're here, and I can't imagine my life any other way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I don't know how I lived as long as I lived without being this way.
Yeah, like you wonder, like, what in the world were they thinking living before? How did they even function?
And it's never too late. Mm-hmm. I was 67 when I came here and came to the Lord. And believe me, my life was totally sinful in every way, totally self-focused in every way. And He changed me completely.
God has a plan,
mm-hmm.
And
so
it's a good one.
Before I met Jesus, I could just describe my life as just like very unfocused and non-directional, just out of control. And I was working down at Rochelle Foods when I met you, Sam, there. Sam was there, and he started witnessing to me there. And he had a church softball team, so I started playing softball. And at the job down at Rochelle Foods that I had was like a billing. And for breaks, I'd have to go cover the medical department. And after I started coming to church and I got saved and everything and talking about God moving us, I went into work one day and covered break, and I could hear loud and clear, like you were saying, Corinne, I could go be a nurse. And I know it was the Lord, because you just feel it all through you. You know the difference. And go be a nurse. And I told my best friend Cindy about it, and it's like she already knew. Like what Chris just knew. And she started giving me these bags of like
pens and highlighters and notebooks and like anything I could need for school supplies and stuff. Well, I had been rolling up at that job for 5 years late. I am a last-minute person, and it's a casual office environment, so I've been late for 5 years. All of a sudden, they fired me for being late, which pushed me right into school. I slid right into school. I got all my books, everything paid for, because I had no job. I just slid right. It was like, it sounds horrible if you get fired, but God smoothed it out somehow. I never wanted for anything. I was taken care of, and I went to school, and I graduated, and I got my nursing degree, and God's been using me ever since. And it's funny how you're teaching us, Sam, that God will move us. Sometimes he'll move other people toward us, too. So, like, we're not only to be a blessing, but we also receive blessings. And I work with the elderly, and that's like digging for gold, because they've been around, and they know stuff. And they're always tossing gold at me, and I like to look for it, and I like to catch it, and I try to give it back.
And I was, like, in my studies, Paul was going from place to place doing what he was called to do. But at one point, he got arrested, and I think he was in jail for 3 years. But anyway, he was to the point where he couldn't go anymore. He couldn't go out and do what God called him to do. But God sent people to him for him to send them out and to continue the work. Mm-hmm. God still used him in a mighty way, even though he was in a bad predicament. You know, God didn't just say, all right, well, you can't do nothing from here. And he's like, God's like, well, I'm going to use this too, and this is all part of the plan. And so all those people that went to visit him, he sent them out to continue the work, to continue to witness and to bring people to Christ, which is awesome, because as it means he can use us anywhere we're at, no matter the circumstance. It says that Paul was confronted in one of the places where he was at, and they whipped him, beat him with rods, and the persecution started building up, and they left that place. In Acts 13 and 51, it says, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what they just went through? And they were filled with the joy and Holy Spirit to be moving on to the next spot. They kicked the dust off their sandals and continued to work, continued to go, continued to move. They were moved again to another region to spread the seed. And that's our job, is to spread the seed, to be workers in the garden, doing what God wants to be done. I think it's like when I have the opportunity to preach and teach, God puts that in my heart a lot, you know, to reach the lost. But you got to be willing. And sometimes it's scary. I'll use Leanne as an example. I've done this before. I know she'll be all right. She worked in the same place I worked, in the office where I had to go in and turn my paperwork into. And we had started the church softball team. I walked through the office and said hi. And I opened the door to walk out. And it was like, literally, like God grabbed me by the back of the shirt. Said, ask Leanne to be on the softball team. It was not audible, but it was the most thing closest to audible that I ever heard in my life. And literally stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't move forward. It's like he was standing there holding me back. And I stopped. I was like, hey, Leanne, you want to join the church softball team? And she was excited. She was happy to do it. And that changed many lives. Just with one answer, doing what God wanted me to do, that changed a lot of lives. I truly don't think I would have known John or any of the Overstreets. And a lot of people wouldn't be Christians now. Leanne's been witnessing hard, and she's brought a lot of people to the Word. And it's all because I answered one call. I did the one thing that God wanted me to do that day. And it was scary, because I could have got fired for not doing my job, for stopping and talking, but God protected me. And you got to know that God's going to protect you. When he sends you out to do something, like he did Paul, God's going to be there and he's going to protect you. He's going to give you the strength to do what he wants done, and he's going to do it through you. You don't have to do it. It took me a long time to get to know that when God sent me somewhere, that it wasn't going to be me doing it. It was going to be him doing it through me. Once I got to that, figured out that concept, things got a little bit easier. Never easy, but a little easier. Knowing that when God called me, my first thing was, all right, God, you say you want me to do it, you want me to go, you're going to have to do it through me. I did that with all my jobs. I'm like, all right, God, you want me to be a painter at Etnire? I don't know how to paint, but you're going to have to do it through me. And I've been there for over 5 years painting because I trust God to do what he says he's going to do. God has a plan for our lives. Let's Mark 6:48. This was after Jesus was preaching, and he told the disciples to get in a boat and go to the other side, that he would meet them there. It says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. God's plan. God has a plan. God's plan was to meet them on the other side. And he sent them, and they went. And the plan was for him to meet them on the other side. It says, he meant to pass them by. It was his plan to walk past them and meet them on the other side. But he seen that they were struggling and knew that they needed help. And he loved them enough to stop and help them. So God's plan is the best plan that is out there. And he will make things work the way that things should work. But he also loves you enough to stop and pick you up on the way through, just like he did these guys. They thought they were all going to die. They didn't think they were going to make it. And because of God's plan, he picked them up, calmed the sea, and made a way for them to get to the other side. You know, and you imagine all the different ways that God does that in our life. When he sees us struggling and sees us scared, and he's just waiting for us to call out to him, waiting for us to say, God, Jesus, come save me. Come get me. I need your help. His plan is to have us right in the middle of everything that he's doing, to be where he can use us and to save us so that we can continue on and do what he wants us to do. God doesn't make a plan and then just let us fail. If we fail, it's on our own account because we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not going where God wants us to go. It's our plan. But when our life is his plan, it doesn't fail. He might move us from one spot to another, but it's his plan and it's his will. So I want to encourage everybody here today to be mindful of God's plan in your life. It doesn't matter your age, how old you are, or how young you are. God's got a plan. Be part of that plan. Be willing to move when God calls you to move. Be willing to do what you're called to do. It's scary sometimes, but it's totally worth it. It's the best high I've ever had in my life, is being used by God. Energizes you. Puts a little pep in your step, makes you excited, makes you want to live instead of just get by. So I want to encourage you today to be like Paul. Be willing to be moved and used, because in the end, all the glory is going to be to God, and he will provide a way for you in every step of your life. Anybody got anything else they want to add to that?
I wanted to go back to, I think what Kim was saying about and Susan, about reviving our spirit and keeping that fire going. Like, what if we feel ourselves getting less zealous? What do you do? Well, one thing I learned recently is you can get revived from tremendous pain. It's not always positive, or like going to a conference or a seminar, you know, something we carnally think it might be. Pain can revive us, and I'm telling you guys, when I got that knock on the door, I never felt any closer. And it's like he carried me. And he was already telling me, I swear to you, I knew my son was gone. And he was like reminding me, I have him, it's okay. When God promised that he would be there with us through everything, he was not kidding. God has just been, I've never felt closer to him, and so praising through the pain. And I remember my first reaction to the accident was I went ahead and, like you said, be vigilant with intent. I praised him because the kid that lived was not saved, and Troy was saved. So that kid has another chance, and I understand all that. And another thing I realized too is God didn't take my son. He took his child. He took his son. We're all God's to begin with. So I just wanted to talk about that. If you're low or weak in spirit and you just feel dry, you know, keep your eye out, because sometimes if you're in a miserable place, God's going to use that to draw you closer to him.
Yeah.
Same here. Dad passed. I just let God take the lead.
Well, let's go ahead and close. John?
I think the greatest lesson that we all have to learn is God has a plan. It's a good plan. It's the best plan for us. We frequently do not understand it. It's the things that we are sure is so bad turns out to be the greatest things that we ever come up against. And keep that in mind. Gets you through a lot of tough times. God's got a plan. God knows what he's doing. Listen, obey, follow the plan, and everything will be fine.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Father God. I ask you just to hide it in our hearts so we may grow closer to you, Father God, and be stronger and more diligent, Father God. I ask you just to move us all in a mighty way. Lord, just use us in a mighty way. Father God, we are here to be used, Father God. We ask you just to put us in your plan, Father God. Show us what your plan is and help us to move along, Father. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you.